everybody, and welcome to the fourth annual Worldies!
Did we start? Guys! Sorry, I had to have him turn it down a little bit. I couldn't hear anything.
Very
loud. Have we started the show?
We started, yes. I am Ryan. With me are my co-hosts, Mark and Erica.
I'm sorry. I gave them specific instructions this year to real short song, make it quick.
What? I was nervous when the band was that close to the stage. Welcome to the fourth annual Worldies, everybody. I'm Ryan. With me is Mark and Erica, as always. And we are so excited to come to you live from the New World Pictures Podcast Cafe, where we do our annual award show for the year in movies on this podcast.
They are pumped.
They are pumped.
This year.
I think we can all agree it was a wonderful year for movies on this podcast. And we saw a lot of different genres. We saw some obscurities. We saw some big-time hits. But they were all New World movies. Yes, they were.
Oh, finally Ryan gets a laugh.
It's finally got my crowd.
Thank you. Thank you, audience.
Are you guys excited or what?
I've never been more excited in my entire life.
I'm so excited, Ryan. Thank you for asking. I noticed that you're wearing a New World Pictures t-shirt this evening.
Of course.
That's very exciting. Are those available for purchase for everyone?
Oh my gosh, yes. All you have to do is go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com, and you can see all of our episodes and articles, and you can order t-shirts from there. That's how you do it. It's just that simple, guys.
Wow.
It's that simple,
It looks
huh?
great. It looks great on you. And people might not know this, but you could also hear and listen to previous Worldies episodes.
Yes.
So if you're wondering,
it's really a one-stop
shop. Who were the big winners in the past? Yeah, there you go.
You know, that's the thing about that sets us apart from all the other award show that come out around this time is that they're all about that year's movies, but we're about movies from all sorts of eras and times. So the Worldies never age poorly; they only age wonderfully.
Yeah, they only age.
They only age. Much like the movies themselves. They're nicely aged.
Yes, exactly. It's like running into someone you went to high school with and you go, wow, you really haven't changed. You are the way I remember you.
But also, you are older. That's what you say to people if you're cool.
Right. That's what those collagen peptides do for you, Ryan. They really help.
They keep your skin. They keep your skin so nice.
Can't do anything for that cough, though, can they?
You can't. Yeah. That the doctors tell me is incurable.
Everybody has something.
Cannot order collagen peptides from our website, but you can order t-shirts. Don't worry, you can order as many as you like, but unfortunately, no collagen peptides. I think it's time that we start giving away some awards as we celebrate
this year
of the New World Pictures podcast. Mark, you are giving away our first award. Take it away.
Me? Oh gosh.
Wow.
I'm touched. I'm touched that you would have me start this thing off. And we're going to start it off right because, you know, when does a movie have too many characters? One giant tell is if the movie starts with the New World Pictures logo. Let me start that over. One giant tell is if the movie starts with the New World Pictures logo.
So look at me, some peptides.
While some movies think that less is more, New World's philosophy was more is more, is more, is more, and more, and some more. Let's have some more. Leaving us with many, 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 many options each year for the movie with too many characters in them. And this year's nominees are The Dog Who Stopped the War, The Oldest Profession, The Big Birdcage, The Warrior and the Sorceress, and The Big Bust Out.
For sure.
And The Worldie goes to The Big Birdcage.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. No. Met with thunderous applause.
Yeah, Big Birdcage. I mean, you know, of course, when you have a women in prison film, you're going to have a lot of characters. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
But never too many.
I should mention at this point, too, voting, much like last year, not just the three of us, but also our dedicated guests and New World NWPP VIPs that are in our Discord, who are also voting. They are part of the voting board. So thank you to them. And thank you to them for also being a part of this night, because many of them are going to be presenting awards, including the boss himself, Ryan Verrill.
Wow.
The boss, our boss at Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. A kind but stern boss.
So, speaking firm of which, really, really quick, have you guys gotten your review yet? Because
Oh yeah. No, I got my review. Yeah.
I got mine weeks ago.
Ooh, oh no. Uh-oh.
I kept checking my email over the break, and I haven't gotten.
Yeah, Ryan did say that next year was gonna look a lot different for the podcast. I did not know what he meant, but. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he meant switching to, you know, Riverside.
Yeah.
To
That's totally, totally. Just a different.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sure, that's all.
That's
it was.
All. It, that's sure all it was. Yeah, it was nothing about getting rid of a host. Yeah. No, for sure.
No. Definitely not. Definitely.
But let's let Ryan give away this next award.
Hi, I'm Ryan from the Disconnected. I am also in charge of the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, which, fortunately or unfortunately, this podcast is a part of. One thing that is true about the New World Pictures podcast is their ability to surprise. I sure wish they'd surprise me with that ad they've been promising me. Come on, guys. Help me help you, okay? Also surprising, their lineup of films. In a single year, the New World Pictures podcast goes from talking about a tax advice video from 1987 to Truffaut, to a month-long tirade about Canadian films that no one has heard of, even if they're in Canada. The nominees for the most surprising film of 2025 are Tax Attack 87.
Good day, Mr. Klein. It's about time you learned how to do your taxes.
Where am I? What is this, a nightmare?
The Killing Time.
Here, in this place of peaceful beauty. Everyone has something to hide. The killing time is now.
God told me to.
On December 25th, 1953, a child is born. A virgin birth. Tomorrow, all civilization will tremble under his almighty power.
Accept me, no questions.
Under the boardwalk.
Listen, when we accepted your application, you didn't say anything about,
having tits? Huh?
Well, yeah.
And the tin drum. And the world he goes to. Tax attack. Wait. Surprise! God told me to! Thanks for listening, and I hope someday that the New World Pictures podcast can finally make a commercial.
I feel like that is specifically going to be my remote.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you know,
you'll get your review when Boss Man gets his commercial.
that's what he's looking for.
That explains a lot.
That does.
That explains a lot.
That does explain.
Yeah.
Now I should go over the voting. That was a very strong choice from the Discord. Eric and I had different movies that we picked, but Mark, you and the Discord took it with
yes,
by a large margin with God Told Me To.
All right.
Wow.
Come on, Discord. Wow. We're in this together. Let's see if we can do a sweep. I feel like we've got this.
The Discord are truly some of the best. But you know what? Not every character in all the movies we watched this year were the best. In fact, many of them were the worst. And we're going to have our buddy Chris Iannacone, who is going to tell us all about
nice
the worst character of 2025.
Hi there. My name is Chris Iannacone, host of the beloved and acclaimed podcast Get Me Another, and a guest on such classic New World Pictures podcast episodes as Lady Frankenstein, The Big Bust Out, and Firecracker. My old college roommate once said, "You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain." I don't know where he picked that up, but I think it's absolute nonsense. Some people aren't lucky enough to be heroes or villains. Some are just destined to be the worst. Malachi from Children of the Corn, Frank from Hellraiser, Pinocchio from Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night. These are just a few examples of characters from New World Pictures movies who are just the absolute worst. Hey, we can't all be Frankenstein from Death Race 2000 or Shad from Battle Beyond the Stars. Or even Squawk from Black Moon Rising. So, without further ado, here are the nominees for the character who was just the worst in 2025. Max von Sydow as Larson in Foxtrot.
Are you all right?
David Bennett as Oscar in The Tin Drum.
Oh, God.
Charlotte Rampling as Julia in Foxtrot.
Now, all of you, we are where we wanted to be. Alone on an island.
Bruce Robinson as Lieutenant Albert Pinson in The Story of Adele H.
Yes, but how do I get her to go? I've tried everything. Threats, prayers, promises. I've even begged her. Nothing works.
Don Stark as the Rhino in Spider-Man : Venom Saga.
Let's get it over with. I gotta polish my horn.
And Peter O'Toole as Leevu in Foxtrot.
Good brandy can dispel anything.
And the world he goes to, David Bennett as Oscar in The Tin Drum. Congratulations to David Bennett as Oscar in The Tin Drum. You truly are just the worst in 2025.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Oh, boy. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I would like to add.
Thank you, Chris.
One quick comment on that. Thank you, Chris. Oscar is the worst. But I'm furious that Tin Drum won an award. I'm furious. I am furious that Tin Drum won a worldie. As a previous worldie winner, I'm furious.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well,
I'm furious. Anybody can just scream Oscar. Anybody can just scream, okay?
I do think, you know, the nominees it was a heavily weighted category towards Foxtrot, and I think they offset each other because there were so many. And also what offset them was the fact that no one but us has seen Foxtrot. That was also, that I think, proved difficult for any of them to win.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have picked a movie from a character from every single movie we watched this year, and Oscar would have won.
There was almost no way to beat him, to be honest.
No.
But, you know, we don't just talk about New World movies on this podcast. We also talk about movies that were nearly released by New World. And so we only watched a few this year. Usually we watch a lot more. But we got some amazing choices. Three incredible films that we watched this year. Erica is going to deliver our next award.
Ah, thanks, Ryan. It's nearly great to be here. I nearly missed being here tonight because I could have done anything else, but you know me, fan of the Worldies and former Worldie winner for my songs. What's that? You'd nearly leave this award show if I didn't sing them? Please, I can't. I 2, 3, 4. Sometimes you nearly wanna watch a movie, and sometimes you nearly wanna do anything else. Sometimes you nearly wanna watch a new world, but sometimes you'll nearly watch anything else. You're narrowly away from a new world. You are narrowly away from a new world. You're always nearly just one step or one character or one or maybe two titties away from a new world. Thank you. That brings back such memories. The nominees for Best Nearly New World 2025 are Wheels of Fire, Street Walkin', no G, and The Drifter.
Mm.
Mm. And the Worldie goes to, drum roll, vocal drum roll, Wheels of Fire.
Yeah. One mm-hmm. of...
No, not my personal, not my vote, nope. But good for you, Wheels of Fire. Good for you.
It was the overwhelming favorite of the Discord. But yes, you and Mark chose differently than Wheels of Fire.
That's because the Discord has not seen The Drifter. If they had,
yes,
they would see have a the very different opinion.
See The Drifter and imagine the absolute horror when your one night stand, who you don't even know the name of, appears at your place of work.
Yeah.
Appears at your employer.
Your place of work, that the sheer horror that your place of work also looks like your apartment.
Uh-huh. Oh, that apartment was amazing.
Which also looks like a hotel room.
I know we're going to start talking about Wheels of Fire in a second, but also about The Drifter. It's also a movie...
Also, runner up.
It's also a movie where you conduct your personal business and your professional business at an outdoor seating of a nearby restaurant. So that's...
Yes.
You know, yeah, mm-hmm. But still, Wheels of Fire is also a movie where... Mm-hmm. Boobs happened.
I would say learn from our mistakes and don't watch it with your 11-year-old.
No, do not.
He's not ready. Mm-hmm. or he was
he
too
didn't
ready.
Get a vote, but I bet ready. He would have voted for that movie as well.
Yeah, probably would have voted for it for two reasons, but you know, I don't know.
Oh, Erica, that was such a lovely song. And speaking of songs, we had plenty of songs that we were treated to this year through all these New World movies. And to introduce our next category, we have one of our frequent guests, Allie Davis.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Allie Davis, writer, comedian, and frequent New World podcast guest. You know, there was a time when almost all movies had theme songs. And New World Pictures was uniquely situated in this era, with movies from all varieties of budgets getting their own theme song. Even The Funny Farm. What's The Funny Farm, you might be asking? Well, I would be asking that, too, if this podcast hadn't forced me to watch it. Twice. But New World theme songs aren't like the Ghostbusters theme. They're boozy little earworms that attach themselves to your brain and refuse to let go. Actually, maybe they are exactly like the Ghostbusters theme. And the nominees for Best Song of 2025 are... Mr. Nice Guy theme, performed by Lighthouse, music by Paul Hoffert, lyrics by Brenda Hoffert, oh, a couple, or siblings, I don't want to judge, from Mr. Nice Guy.
Get my back on this one.
Under the Boardwalk, written by Kenny Young and Arthur Resnick, and performed by the Untouchables from Under the Boardwalk.
This was a tough one.
Playing with Fire, performed by Arna T. Walker, music and lyrics by John Kakavas, and Bonnie Becker from They're Playing with Fire. And then the harder they call, the harder they fall, one and all. Ooh, the harder they come, the harder they come, written and performed by Jimmy Cliff from The Harder They Come, and honestly... If that's not the winner, what are we all doing here? Sorry, was that not objective enough? Well, baby, listen to me if you like to move. Put them all together and you'll catch a groove. And everyone, have fun. And what a bug. Waterbug, performed by Neil Sedaka in Playgirl Killer. The game is over, just take my hand. Love is on our side. Lyrics by Roger Legere and Daniel Faubert. Music by Germain Gauthier. And performed by Nathalie Simard in The Dog Who Stopped the War. And the wordly goes to... The Harder They Come. Written and performed by Jimmy Cliff because of course it fucking did. Anyway, that was great. All the nominees were great. I would happily, if we were in the future... squirt water on all of them from a little squirt bottle. And if you don't know what that means, you have not been listening to this podcast enough.
Oh, yes. Best song went to Jimmy Cliff, hands down for that one as well, though. Mark, Erica, you were down for Playing with Fire. I'm just going to cut you guys out.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to lie.
And there was a moment when I almost went, is Love is on Our Side my favorite? But I've owned the soundtrack to Harder They Come for so long. It's such a terrific soundtrack. I listened to it many, many times well before I ever saw the movie. So I was like, yeah. And the Discord was right behind me on that award. That was...
Well, me and the Discord are one for two on this one, so I feel like we've got to really pull through, Discord. I feel like you're on my side for the second half of the season here, or of the worldies, so come on, we can do it.
So they haven't had your back so far, but maybe they'll have your back on this one, because every year on this podcast feels like at some point either Mark or Erica quits. While we're doing an episode.
Correct. Correct. The Worldies is the only episode that's safe.
It is. It is.
For now.
Within the next Worldies, who knows? How contentious might it be? I don't know. But every year, there's a movie that Erica or Mark might quit over. And so we had this category introduced last year. It's the best movie that Mark or Erica nearly quit the podcast over. Now, I say that because I think this category confuses people. It's the best movie of all of the movies that you guys would have quit the podcast for. And I think people thought it was vote for the movie that they would have quit the podcast over. But that is not what the category is. It is the best of the movies. So I say that in prep. So, I say that in prep for the, for you, for both
Ryan,
of you.
Don't worry. This is all completely explained in the SemanticCast. They take a deep dive into it.
I hope so, because it's the word. So it's the word's best movie that threw people. Mm-hmm. It's at the very beginning of of it. But let's go through the nominees.
It's a math equation, but really quickly, Ryan. Mm. I think maybe next year we change it up to the movies that they wish we quit the podcast for. So I think that would be clearer. And that also gives us an out.
Okay.
So
I don't know. We'll see. I'll run that by HR. This is the nominees for the best movie Mark and or Erica nearly quit the podcast over. The Oldest Profession. Caged Terror. The Tin Drum.
Please.
Bang your tin drum.
Foxtrot. And Mr. Nice Guy. All films that made Mark and or Erica really consider, should this be my final episode? But the winner of the best movie that Mark and or Erica nearly quit the podcast over is The Tin Drum.
No, everyone's confused. They will not win two awards tonight. No. That is not the best. Please change it. Please.
I should point out that both you and...
Please.
You, so it's not Caged Terror. It's not Caged Terror, Erica. And I should point out, both you and Mark voted for The Tin Drum.
Yes. Well, we misunderstood the question. Yes. We didn't get the assignment right. So
I don't know if the Discord got it wrong, but I do know that when I saw your votes, I was like, do they understand this category?
No, clearly we don't.
Ryan.
Please.
To be fair, I did swing by your office during office hours to ask about this question.
My office door is always closed. Always closed during office hours. It is confusing.
Yes.
It is confusing. And but if you knock, I will open the door.
Hi, Ryan. This is Jana from HR. Just real quick about that open door policy. That means we're going to take the lock off your door.
No!
Okay? We don't think you're professionally mature enough to handle it, so we're going to take the lock off your door. But Ryan, good news. Mm. Good news. The OP Center earplugs that you wanted are in. So you can have the door open, but you can put those earplugs in.
There it is.
Have a great day,
Ryan. Thank you. Well, a little bit of good news to help outweigh the bad. But yes, that is two awards for the Tin Drum tonight.
Damn it. God damn it. This is my nightmare.
Had I thought through that, Caged Terror. While awful, is remarkably better than the Tin Drum.
There may be some confusion. Some people also put Mr. Nice Guy. I'm like, I don't want to question anyone's taste.
Don't reword it.
I don't want to question the beautiful
people. Tell people to tune into the SemanticCast.
I don't want to question the beautiful people in the Discord, but I don't understand that vote. But anyway,
what did you vote for? Are you allowed to reveal?
I voted for Foxtrot. I was like, of the best. The best
Foxtrot?
Yeah, no, I would give that the
best
of
the worst movies. That was at least look, you had three great actors in it. I mean, like, of the movies.
Cinematography was good.
It was boring, as all get out, but I mean,
as fuck.
But
well, if I could change my vote, I would have voted for Cage Terror.
Still would have lost. Or actually, we probably would have had a tie. We would have had a three-way tie if that would have happened. But guys, it's time for us to take off our nice, clean New World Pictures podcast t-shirts that you can buy on our website and put on a filthy shirt, because we're going to talk about some real acting with our next award, the perennial Anthony Perkins Award for Filthiest Shirt. And we got our old pal Dunbar to introduce this next award.
Hello, New World listeners. It's your friendly neighborhood Dunbar here. I know you guys have been wondering, where has he been? Well, this entire time, I've been training in the craft of voiceover. And so I'm really excited when Ryan and Mark and Erica asked me to do this intro so I can try out some of my voiceover skills, and excited to talk to you guys. So here we go. Okay, where's the copy? Here we go. There is acting, and then there is acting in a dirty shirt. We all know acting in a clean shirt is easy. It smells fresh, and you feel confident in yourself and your abilities. Only when one has to act in a dirty shirt do our true thespians reveal themselves, much like Anthony Perkins did in this landmark filthy shirt performance from the heartwarming family film Crimes of Passion. We at the Worldies are proud to continue to recognize the performances of those forced to wear disgusting shirts. And this year was one of the most competitive ever. The nominees for Anthony Perkins Award for Filthiest Shirt in 2025 are David Carradine as Kane in The Warrior and the Sorceress.
Tell your master, Balcaz, to watch the well. And tell him I don't work cheap.
Pam Grier as Blossom in The Big Birdcage.
You philandering, fornicating bastard. You went off with that skinny honky for 2 days and gonna come back here and call me honey.
Now, wait a minute, Blossom, honey.
I told you I was going to cut it off if you try to pull that shit on me.
Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk in The Incredible Hulk Returns. Richard Lynch as Bernard Phillips in God Told Me To.
In all living things, one set of genes is dominant. In me, all that is human became recessive.
And Steve Rackman as Alf from Escape 2000, a.k.a. Turkey Shoot. And the Anthony Perkins Award for Filthiest Shirt goes to Steve Rackman for Alf from Escape 2000, a.k.a. Turkey Shoot.
Yes.
Congratulations to Steve and to all brave enough to perform in a filthy shirt. What an exciting award show. Very excited to be a part of it again. Thank you guys for listening to my vocal stylings. And if you want to hire me, you can go to my website at hirethedicksvoice.com. Yes, that's hirethedicksvoice.com. Again, congratulations to Mr. Rackman for doing a great job in a dirty shirt. Bye.
Yes. Thank you, Dunbar. Thank you so much.
I'm afraid to type that website into my computer.
I'm sure it's legit. I hope he gets some great work out of this. And, you know, also, you got to give it up to the Discord. They were on your side this time, guys.
Nice.
Yep. As they should have
been. I think it was kind of a clear-cut winner, but I still went with Pam Grier, but I was, what can you do? What can you do? It's hard to beat Alf from Escape 2000, yeah. AKA yeah. Turkey Shoot, who was in many ways, an MVP of that movie. You know, many of the movies we watch every year, there's always that like weird character where you're like, oh, that one odd character I kind of loved. Mm-hmm. And this year is no different. And so we got to talk. We got to bring our friend Peter, who's going to present next award for the best low-key MVP.
Well, hello, New Worlds Pictures podcast. It is I, Peter Fouet, sometimes almost frequent guest of the New World Pictures podcast. Now, when we watch movies, we can't help but be caught up with the characters, whether they're the main characters, such as the Power Family from episode 119 Power Pack, available now for your listening pleasure, or even those supporting characters like Martin Mull and Karen Black in episode 136 Bad Manners, available wherever you listen to podcasts. But sometimes a smaller character in a movie rises above all the others, making them what I like to call the low-key MVP of the film. Much like the alien Gar, as featured in episode 33, Star Crystal. Who knew that incredible extraterrestrial would find a way into our hearts? I don't know if I can answer that here, but I know we answered in episode 33, Star Crystal. An episode deserving of your 5-star review. Listen now. And the nominees for best low-key MVP so for 2025 are...
Is that a semi in front of me?
Pat Morita is Maurice, Jimmy the Kid.
Why don't you guys give me a break? I gotta make the payments on my truck.
Michael Madsen as Stu in The Killing Time. Poog the Reptile as Poog the Reptile in The Warrior and the Sorceress.
Hey, Polly, put some eggs on for Lou and me.
Polly the Chef in Stand Alone. The Malibu Beach House as Malibu Beach House in episode 146, The Incredible Hulk Returns. And the winner of the best low-key MVP 2025 is... Poog the Reptile as Poog the Reptile in The Warrior and the Sorceress. I have been told I can outro as I like. So, let me take this time to remind you, Star Crystal is still available for your downloads. Please download it where you download your podcasts here at the New World Pictures Podcast. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Oh, I hope Peter can hear the Orson Welles that he's got going on.
Seriously.
He really does. Yeah. It's amazing. But also, congrats to Poog the Reptile from The Warrior and the Sorceress. The runaway winner for that one. Though, I have to admit, I was pulling for Malibu Beach House.
I knew you would be.
That was a tough one.
Malibu Beach House really was low key the best part of The Incredible Hulk Returns. I mean, if you've watched it, you know what I'm talking about. But now we've already been treated to one of Erica's songs during this show, but we got treated to Erica's songs throughout this past year and every year.
Thank you for saying treated.
As we open up most of our episodes with a song that Erica sings, and this category was introduced last year because of the Discord, and we brought it back this year. And to introduce this, we've got one of our NWPP VIPs, and a USPS mailman in the San Fernando Valley. Jason Newman is introducing our next category.
Some say this podcast peaked in year two. Some say it peaked five episodes in. But the truth is, each show peaks in its opening moments when Erica sings a song she invented as soon as they start recording. From there, it's all car talk and boring background research and an endless tirade of commercials for a podcast called The Semantic Cast that is yet to debut its first episode. But at least we get that opening song. The nominees for Best Song that Erica made up to start an episode are Jimmy the Kid.
Suddenly adventure hands you some fun. Jimmy the Kid, 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 kid. Jimmy the Kid, 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 kid. Blink and you'll forget it, Jimmy the Kid. Open your eyes, close them again. It's still on, Jimmy the Kid.
Beverly Hills Vamp.
Perhaps you've seen Vamp or you've seen Team Vamp. If you've seen both Vamps, then Bev Hills Vamp. 90210, you wish. Instead, it's Bev Hills Vamp.
Nick Knight.
When you're trying to record, 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 and there's an echo, echo, echo. When you're with your three friends, 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 and there's an echo, echo, echo.
The Big Bust Out.
P-R-I-S-O-N, P-R-I-S-O-N, it's prison. Yeah, yeah, it's prison. Yeah, yeah. Get the handcuffs, get the jail, get the bars, get the bail, prison. Yeah, yeah, it's prison. Yeah, yeah.
God told me to.
Hey there, fans. This one's for you. Doing what God told me to. Hey there, fans. You don't want a song too goddamn bad because God wants a song. God tells E what to do. So here is God's song right for you. Open up your ears. Put away your fears. Celebrate and cheers. Open a couple beers.
And the world he goes to... The Big Bust Out! Yay! Yeah. If you excuse me, yeah. I have to get back to my route. This mail won't deliver itself.
Aw, Numi!
Oh, thank you, Numi. Again, another runaway winner with the Discord. Mark, again, you were on the side of the Discord with a Big Bust Out. How are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great. I'm a little sore, but, you know, an ice bath should take care of it. But okay. I'm feeling
that seems
good.
Seems unrelated from the night. I meant how you felt about that past war. But, I mean, you know, a general, you know, update about you is also, that's, you know, acceptable.
I also feel good about the song. So thanks, Discord. Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Erica.
And thank you, Erica. That was a real funny one. The behind throwing in the bars, and there's another verse after that that's really funny too. So
we only had to clip them out, had to clip them down a little bit, but they're all available. I mean, Erica, you were going to win in that category no matter what.
Oh, was I? Thanks. Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to know.
So far,
thought I had a chance.
I mean, you haven't won as many awards as Tin Drum, but you know, there's still a chance.
Oh, come on. Please let me at least tie with Tin Drum. Please. Please. If I don't, I'm going to scream and break all the glass.
Tin Drum has truly been one of the heroes of the night. But for our final category, we're going to talk about heroes that we need today from our past. In a category where, oddly enough, Tin Drum is not nominated, but we're going to turn to the voice of New World Pictures trailers for this next category.
Hello, New World Pictures fans. This is the voice of New World Pictures, Percy Rodriguez. In these times, we all need heroes, and there can be no better place to find the hero we need today than in... the movies. The nominees for the best hero of the past that we need today are Nick Knight, played by Rick Springfield in Nick Knight.
Mr. Knight, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Why, I don't look okay?
Will you push the panic button?
Got a little claustrophobic. It's like a coffin in there.
Suzanne Carter, played by Jillian Kessner in Firecracker.
Where can I find him?
Works down the arena for Eric Stollard. Drugs, prostitution, gambling. I don't think you want to meet him.
Guess again.
Mickey Tremaine, played by Margot Kidder in Keeping Track.
You know, I never thought that you stole that money. And, you know, the first time I met you on the train, mm-hmm. when I pretended that I didn't know who you were. Well, I have to admit, this is really embarrassing. I have to admit, I'd seen you on TV hundreds of times.
Well, I have to admit something to you, too.
What?
I still have the $5 million.
You what?
Kyle, played by Eddie Deason in Beverly Hills Vamp.
Look, lady, let's not get our feathers ruffled here. I don't mean any disrespect,
you
but I...
You must stay.
Well, perhaps I could come back a little later, maybe, and...
Stay.
I must stay. Stay.
And Robert Klein, played by Robert Klein in Tax Attack 87.
Money! Money! Money. Money.
Money.
Money.
Money. Money. Money. Money. Money.
Money. Money.
And the world he goes to. It's a tie. Suzanne Carter, played by Jillian Kessner in Firecracker. And Kyle, played by Eddie Deason in Beverly Hills Vet.
Wow.
Wow.
And while I'm happy for these two, I personally feel that Robert Clyde was robbed. Eddie Deason and Jillian Kessner didn't tell me which tax credits were phased out.
Oh. Thank you to the voice of so many trailers for New World Pictures, Percy Rodriguez, portrayed by one of our NWPP VIPs, Greg Anderson, who is in our Discord. So many people in the Discord voted for Eddie Deason. It was...
uncomfortable.
was a surprise. That was a surprise.
Yeah. Wow.
Mark came in at the last minute and made it a tie, but wow, that was, you know, yeah. A lot of people voted for all of the... I mean, everyone got votes, but except for...
People don't think we need Nick Knight.
Except for Margot Kidder.
I feel like we could use a vampire. I feel like we could use a vampire.
I thought so too, but we were wrong. And that is the worldies for this year. All of our... Oh. I mean, congrats to everybody. An incredible showing. And we're going to start wrapping up from our year, 2025. Real quick, we want to just thank all of our guests that have come on the show this year. Thank you to everybody who also recorded for this show. It was a sort of last minute thing. So thank you to all of our presenters, all of our guests from the past year. I also want to thank all of our interview guests. We had so many incredible people on the podcast this year.
Yeah.
Stephen Kostanski, Eric Blakeney, Fritz Kirsch, Brian Trenchard-Smith, Jeff Scheckman, Daniel Gross, George Bo Bishop from Teen Vamp. Unbelievable. So happy we got that interview. Barbara Pokris, Alan Tamayan, James Milconian, an incredible amount of people we got to talk to this year about New World Pictures. Thank you to them, and thank you to you, our listeners. Thank you so much. We are so grateful for all of you guys for listening to the show year after year. This was actually... This past year was our most successful year yet in the with the podcast, which is incredible. So many of you listened to The Oldest Profession and some of the other random movies we listened to, and so few of you listened to Keeping Track. You know, it's a fun episode, and yes, I know you haven't seen the movie, but still give it a listen.
Well, and I think that brings up one thing that I wanted, as we wrap this up, I wanted to run through quickly the top five episodes of 2025.
Oh, the top. Okay, yes.
The top most listened to.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, sure. Okay.
Because you brought up Keeping Track which did not make it in the top five. There were some surprises in the top five.
Okay.
Coming in at number five was Corman Graduates, Jack Hill Part 1 with Callum Waddle.
Yes, thank you to all of our guests this year for our very first series on Corman Graduates, starting with Jack Hill. We had an amazing assortment of guests. Thank you to all of them. Callum kicked it off for that episode, for that whole series.
Yeah, it was really great. Number four was a bit of a surprise to me. I'm thinking it's going to be a surprise to the two of you also, and hopefully the Discord. Number four, episode 137, Tax Attack 87.
Not a surprise.
Wow.
Not a surprise.
Yep. Wow.
Deep down, everybody kind of like is turned on by taxes, you know?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Especially
hear
old
it.
Taxes.
Especially taxes from 1987.
I want to hear about that old tax code.
Yes.
The one that doesn't apply at all today.
One we have gotten
rid
of. I want to
live in the past. Yeah.
Episode number three was a bonus episode. It was our interview with James Melkonian, which... Nice. Great interview.
Great interview. Great guy.
One for him to talk with us.
One of the New World trailer editors and actually head of post-production. He went on and he directed the Jerky Boys movies. Great, great guy. Definitely check out all those interviews.
Mm-hmm. Number two, episode 138, God Told Me To, which that's not a surprise.
Not a surprise.
Yeah. God told people to listen, and what are you going to do? Don't God know? Good luck.
And the number one episode for 2025 was actually the third annual Worldies.
What?
And our top and really? Bottom running list for 2024.
The world. I mean, no surprise.
God let it win. This is where we take a left turn. We get super religious on the New World Pictures podcast.
You know, it people love award shows, and there's nothing that's more prestigious than winning a Worldie.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for acknowledging that as a Worldie winner.
Next year.
Also, speaking of top fives, we're going to talk about our top five, our running top five for this year, and our running bottom five. Now, throughout the year of the years of the podcast, every year we just sort of have a running top five of all the movies that we've talked about over the course of our history. Mark, what was your, from last year, let's run down your top five, just your top five.
My top five from last year. Number five was Forbidden World. Number four was Party Incorporated. Number three, Hellbound Hellraiser 2. Number two, St. Jack. And number one, Heathers.
And Erica, let's go through your top five. Running top five.
Yeah, you bet. Starting from the bottom. Crystal Heart, number five. Crystal Heart. Number four, In the Aftermath. Number three, Party Incorporated. Number two, Queenie. And my number one, Ride or Die, Creepshow 2.
And my running top five was number five, Party Incorporated. Number four, Dead End Drive-In. Number three, Forbidden World. Number two, St. Jack. And number one, Heathers. And let's see what cracked those top fives. Mark, has anything cracked your top five, your number five pick?
We started off last year strong with God Told Me To. Really liked that. But it's got to be an honorary mention. Is it better to me? Would I watch that if I had Forbidden World or God Told Me To? If I could pick one, I'm going to go with Forbidden World.
Okay.
So it's going to stay in that top five spot.
Forbidden World stays. Erica, are you sticking with Crystal Heart, or is something else broken through your own Crystal Heart for this past year?
Oh, thanks for noticing, Ryan. The Crystal Heart was an implant. A lot of people don't know that. I'm hesitant to talk about any plastic surgery that I've had, but I did have a Crystal Heart installed.
Wasn't necessary. So. It was not medically necessary. It was just because she wanted one.
It was medically necessary because I was heartless before. At least now I have a Crystal Heart. I'm jumping ahead, but Crystal Heart remains in my top five, but it does not remain as number five.
So what is number five?
My number five is Killing Time, y'all. Oh. It's making it.
Wow.
It's number five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not a surprise in that we did Killing Time after our Vidtober, which concentrated on Canadian movies released by New World Video. And the Killing Time then was a breath of fresh air that Erica was so happy and needed.
It freed me from my sadness bubble. And gave me breathe new life. And
you needed it.
Breathe new life.
My number five was Party Incorporated, but it has been replaced by what Mark talked about. I am now in number five. I put God Told Me To. Just an absolutely wild movie from Larry Cohen. And again, we talk about it. I felt like it was okay to push Party Incorporated out, because when we talked about that last year, we talked about it as a movie that, like, who else was ever going to release a movie like Party Incorporated? Mm-hmm. And even at the year that God Told Me To came out, who was going to release that wild movie? What a weird swing of a film that was. And I knew it was going to be in my top five way back in January when we discussed it in our very first February. So it is my number five. Mark, your number four. Has it changed?
Well, my number four, again, you know, we started off the year strong with God Told Me To. But, you know, I have a soft spot for Party Incorporated. I mean, when else are you going to see Marilyn Chambers sing? It's hard to beat.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose which one to watch, I'm going with God Told Me To. So, unfortunately, Party Incorporated has been kicked out of the top five.
Okay.
I would say it's a strong number six at this
point. Yeah, I would agree.
Well, it's not a list of six. So, see you, Marilyn. Mark turned on you.
Well, we luckily still have the Party Incorporated t-shirts at our website, so you can buy a Party Incorporated t-shirt. Buy them now. Buy them before they sell out. Erica, your number four, does it stay or has it changed?
My number four is now Crystal Heart.
Number
five is Killing Time. My number four is Crystal Heart.
In the aftermath, we'll have to find out.
In the aftermath is going off into the aftermath, friends.
My heart goes out to it.
That's it. Killing Time came in and swooped in and just showed me all the options that, you know, one has when trying to leave a troubled marriage. So, should I ever find myself in a troubled marriage? And now I know what to do. Yep. Now I know what to do.
Fair. My number four was Dead End Drive-In, and I felt like it was one of my favorite movies we've seen so far. It could only be eclipsed by something else Brian Trenchard-Smith directed. So in its place is Escape 2000, a.k.a. Turkey Shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good call.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see
just that. Just an absolute treasure of a movie that
Alf, award winner.
Yes, a worldly winner. A terrific movie. So much fun. It is, you know, Brian Trenchard-Smith does not mess around. He knows what he's doing. Number three, Mark, Hellbound, Hellraiser 2. I have to think that's going to be tough to be knocked off your list.
Yeah, that one is buried in cement and not movable right now. It is actually part of my deck, so it can't be moved at all.
Is there any movement in the rest of your list, or are you locked in at this point?
No, I've got to admit, the rest of my list is set. I mean, really, when I think about all the movies we've watched, Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, St. Jack, Heathers, those are my top three.
Yeah.
They're immovable.
Yeah. I have to admit, mine are also locked in. Forbidden World, St. Jack, Heathers, those are my three, still locked in. But Erica, we're down to your third. Is it still Party Incorporated or has it changed?
It's still Party Incorporated. I think it's a solid number three.
Yeah.
I think it's wild when you look at, when I think about if somebody's like, hey, New World, like, what's that? What should I watch? I'm going to be like, how much time do you have, first of all?
Yeah.
And then when I think about the, you know, could I recommend Killing Time? And they'd be like, cool, that's interesting. And then imagine they go backwards up my top five. They start with Killing Time. They're like, cool, that was wild, whatever. And then they watch Crystal Heart, and they're like, the fuck happened between that glass? And then they're like, Party Incorporated, what is happening? And then they're like, Queenie, my mom would probably like this. And then they're like, Creepshow 2? What happened over there at New World Pictures? And I'd be like, exactly, poof. And then I would have like some disappearing smoke, and I would just disappear and leave them with that top five because it's solid.
So you were keeping, I stand behind you, you're keeping your top three as well then. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, let's see if we will be as immovable with our bottom five. These are the five that I like to look at as like the movies I want to rewatch the least. Mark, let's go through your bottom five from last year.
Number five, Bad Manners. Number four, The Funny Farm. Number three, Transylvania 65,000. Number two, Unfair. The Cremators. And number one, Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night.
And Erica, what was your bottom five?
My bottom five begins with Bad Manners. Bad Manners, Bad Manners. Great opening episode song. Terrible movie. Number four, The Cremators. Number three, Crimes of Passion. Number two, Heart of the Stag. And number one, Cries and Whispers.
Whispers and Cries. That's right.
Gonna be tough to beat. Gonna be tough to beat.
My number...
Until 2025. Tough to beat.
My bottom five was Heart of the Stag. Number five. Number four, Black Oak Conspiracy. Number three, Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night. Number two, The Cremators. Number one, RoboCop, the animated series. Which is 4 hours long. That was why that got in there. But let's go back to you, Mark. Any change for you at number five?
Bad Manners. I wouldn't say that they moved into a movie I would watch list. I feel like there is a purgatory of films, which is a majority of the films that we've watched, which are neither in the I will watch and also not in the worst movies I've ever seen. Actually, I would say Cage Terror falls into that. Like, it's not even really a movie, but there's something about it that's fascinating because it isn't really a movie.
Sure.
But I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again. But my number five, Bad Manners, was kicked out for Beverly Hills Vamp.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, that movie. First of all.
Wow.
We've got Tim Conway Jr. doing just a horrendous job.
Oh, my gosh. Why wasn't he in the character who was just the worst? He should have been in there.
Yeah, he should have.
God, and I bet if whoever put those categories together just didn't want to bother with yet another one, he probably would have made it in there. I don't know who that was.
You could have picked one from every movie. I'll give you a pass on that. But also, it was weirdly edited for TV, question mark?
Yeah.
The version that we watched. And I was this a sex romp? No. Was it just a guys partying kind of movie? Not really. Like it, and it wasn't really a vampire movie either. It was just nothing.
Yeah.
I really did not enjoy that at all.
Yeah.
And I would not watch it again.
Yeah, I get it. I thought about it, but I really thought, you know, the thing is, when we did our episode, which you should go back and listen to, on Beverly Hills Vamp, the thing is that the copy that was available at that time, and I don't know if it has changed, but the only copy that was available was an edited version of that movie. And so I need to see the full movie before I cast judgment. That was my thought. But I understand that you, I mean, certainly that version was lacking. And
but also if you watched War Games,
yes,
and you saw Eddie Deason, and someone said, dude, you know, there's a movie where he's like the main character of the movie. You would think that's probably not great casting.
it's too much Deason. It's really too much.
Too much. You need War Games. It's the right amount of Deason.
I would say like Surf 2 is a good amount of Deason. War Games is a really perfect amount of Deason. Beverly Hills Vamp, too much Deason. I mean, it's just too much. You don't need that much.
Yeah.
He's got so much charisma, much. You don't need all of it in your face the whole time. But Erica, let's go to your number five. Is it still Bad Manners or is it something else?
It is not. It is not. You lucked out, Bad Manners, because there was something much more boring than that. And that was Foxtrot. Foxtrot. Wow. It was fucking boring and they killed all those seals. Foxtrot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 If I never watch it again, it's too soon.
We'll see if that pops up on any one of our lists. But number five. My number five was Heart of the Stag. And unfortunately for Heart of the Stag, it is staying right there. It's not moving. It's just not going to watch that movie. It's number four, Mark, The Funny Farm. Did that stay?
It's locked in. The Funny Farm ain't going anywhere. It might move up the list. It might move slightly down the list. But it's not going anywhere because that movie's fucking miserable to watch. The absolute worst. It's about stand-up comedians and they all suck. It's so bad.
I did not hate it.
God, I hated it so much.
I love how much you hated it. Because I didn't. Anyway, your number four, Erica, The Cremators, is it staying or is it something else replaced it?
The Cremators, you lucked out again. 2025 was a tough year, tough stuff. So, sorry or good luck, lucky you, Cremators, because there was a little boy with a tin drum who was on everybody's last fucking nerve, who's now my number five.
Four, you're number
tin
four.
Tin drum, baby. Little boy with a tin drum is now my number four.
Again, another incredibly well-made film. It's a bit much. It's a bit much.
Doesn't matter.
Number four.
Doesn't matter. Perms. You know what? Perms were incredibly well done back in the day. They still looked like shit, Ryan. Okay? You could expertly execute a perm. Still looked like ass on people's heads. So
my number four was Black Goat Conspiracy, but that has been replaced. I'm putting in its place Mr. Nice Guy, worldy nominee.
Yeah.
Mr. Nice Guy. With an actor from The Funny Farm now getting his own film, and I definitely do not want to watch that one again anytime soon. So,
you know that my love for Transylvania 65,000 runs deep. It's, gosh, I hated it when I saw it. When I was young, I hated it when we watched it for this podcast. But it didn't bore me to fucking tears like The Oldest Profession.
Oh, wow.
So, Transylvania 65,000, you're at least okay in my book, because there's a movie called The Oldest Profession, and that movie fucking blows. Okay. And that is my number three.
Okay, fair enough.
Blowing is part of The Oldest Profession. That is part of it.
Yeah.
That is one of the
it
tricks
sucks,
of the trade.
It blows. Will. It's fucking miserable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Mark's
it will
bottom
cost you.
Five. Got
and it.
It
will cost you.
Yes. Oh.
It
more will. Than you expect.
Yeah, more than you realize. Erica, your number three. Is it still Crimes of Passion? Are you still locked in? It feels like you're
it
three
will
or
locked you're in. My 3-2
okay,
and one are locked
I feel
in,
like you're
right.
locked in. I am also locked in my number three, Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night. But I do have a couple changes as we go on. Mark, how locked in are you on The Cremators and your Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night?
Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night, it graduated to number two on my list
okay,
this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So still there.
Still there.
Still in the bottom of the bottom.
So but, did it switch places with Cremators or what happened?
Oh, no. Number one. Number one, without question. The single worst movie I have watched on this podcast, and I will never watch again, Tin Drum.
I know Tin Drum.
There is no...
Thank you.
I mean, I would watch The Cremators 500 times before I would watch that movie again.
Oh my gosh, so many people love the Syndrome. Yeah. It cracks me up how much you guys hate it. I just, okay. Well, to finish off my list, my number two, instead of the Cremators, that's Where Foxtrot's Living, because that was so boring. Oh my Lord. Oh boy. Great actors, great performances even, and just a just a film that you just wonder why, what, so boring.
I know, right? And you've seen
good brandy can dispel anything.
What'd you say?
Sorry, what was that, Erica? Sorry.
You've seen plays and you still think right, Foxtrot's
exactly.
boring, right?
Exactly.
Woo!
And my number one, RoboCop, the animated series. I have softened on just the 4.5 hours of that show. And I went to the worst movie that I think I may have seen in the history of this podcast. And that is Jimmy the Kid as my number one.
Oh, wow. Really?
Oh. Yeah.
You even
that's
even the
shocking.
The charm of the woman from Every Which Way But Loose couldn't win you over a little bit. Didn't
no.
earn any points.
No, no. I mean, in fact, in going back to find that clip of Pat Morita, who really in that movie is doing, you know, the best he absolutely can with just the worst part. It reminded me of that movie, and I was like, do I really want to put it on my list? And then I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that's right. It's Don Adams from Get Smart for no good reason in this movie and just takes over and spends half the movie dressed as a woman. It is so bad. And I was like, oh, no, I'm right, and this is my number one. I feel bad for so many people involved, Dee Wallace, Cleavon Little, Ruth Gordon, so many good people in this movie, in this very bad movie, to say nothing of Gary Coleman, who also his company produced this movie, and it is weirdly the movie that actually got some the producers of that and his managers who bought New World from Corman. So weirdly, a weird prognosticator of things to come, I guess, or a weird But let's quickly run through some of our through the past year. I just want us to go over a couple questions, quick final questions for the fourth annual Worldies.
Aww.
What was your most underrated movie of the year? What do you think was the most underrated of all we watched?
How do you mean by underrated? I mean, I'm truly asking, not just because I totally fucked up on the best movie that we almost walked out on.
You do,
but like,
you do, yeah.
Underrated
you want
by like critics or underrated by like we
you mean
went into
you know maybe people are
and...
sleeping on this one. You know, maybe it's like a movie that we watched that maybe people are sleeping on.
Certainly keeping track.
For sure.
It's keeping track?
Keeping track, for sure.
People are most certainly sleeping on that movie. They're sleeping
they
during that movie.
Oh my God.
They are sleeping the minute they put it on.
Erica, I want to... corrections and retractions. I'm not saying that it's a good movie. I'm saying it's maybe one of the lowest rated episodes we've had.
It's just people are sleeping on it. I get it. I totally get it.
They're truly sleeping on it.
Wake up and watch it.
Erica, what is yours most underrated?
I think, I have two answers because The Drifter was wild and unexpected and hilarious, and there's so many things about it that I think if
rewatchable.
People watch it and you watch it with friends, highly rewatchable, and I think highly quotable, and I could really see it being kind of like a cult classic because it's just so ridiculous. So definitely The Drifter. And I think if you want to just get in there and be like, I can't believe this is a slice of New World Pictures Tax Attack 87, because it's just, it's funny, but it's not, it's trying to be funny. So there are those moments, but then there are reasons that, you know, then when you're watching it, you're just laughing out loud because you're like, this is ridiculous. And when you think about all the time and effort that went into it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a kind of sleeper hit in that way that you're like, you know, could you put it on background at a party, you know,
Yes. Sure. No, I agree with that. I think it's a different ride than the Drifter, because you're going to like laugh and you're going to be like, what is this? This is so crazy. And then you're going to go through phases where you're like, whew, okay, this might be a rough 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you start.
But the Drifter, like the ending, the last 20 minutes, you're like, whoa, yeah. Whoa,
oh, for sure. For sure.
What was all this?
My underrated of the year, I think people are sleeping on Firecracker. I think that is actually really fun little action movie. It's got some pretty ridiculous scenes. Alan Holzman coming in and directing some great sequences for that one to really pad out the movie. I think that's one to just, you know, people even know some of the 70s New World movies. People don't think of Firecracker. I think people are sleeping a little bit on that one. But let's switch to the film that stuck with you the most, the one that you kind of watch and you just couldn't stop thinking about. What's the movie you watched this year that stuck with you?
Killing Time stuck with me. And as we noted, it was a moment in time. It was a real moment in time. It really hit me at the right time when I needed it the most. It really stuck with me, and it reminded me about Beau Bridges. And I was like, oh, right,
Beau Bridges. And his butt.
And his butt, his little butt. So got some that Beau really butt stuck with me for all the wrong reasons.
Sure.
Tin Drum sticks with me for all the wrong reasons, which I wish I could unwatch and erase from my memory forever.
Mark, what stuck with you the most?
I would have to say God Told Me To, because it just, the way the movie starts and the way the movie ends are they're bipolar, and you're like, what happened? What is, is that a vagina? Is that a vagina?
Yeah.
and that stuck with me, not just because it was a vagina. It was just like the movie took some bold swings, and it really stuck with me. I have to admit also, they're playing with fire primarily because I thought it was a comedy going into it, and it isn't.
It is not.
And I was like,
no.
Like, oh, this is not at all what I was expecting this movie to be. So
yeah, that's true.
The surprise of it made it stick with me. But seriously, of all the movies, the one that stuck with me the most was God Told Me To.
Yeah, the same for me. God Told Me To. In fact, trying to find that clip of Richard Lynch, I got to basically rewatch that scene at the very tail end of the movie, and I was like, right, wow, that's that's a thing that happens. Exactly. And I won't say any more for people that haven't seen it, but wow, the whole movie is such a swing, and gotta hand it to Larry Cohen. Like, you know, guy is just amazing.
For sure.
Now, what was a film that we covered this year that you forgot about until we got to the worldies?
Where do I start? honestly, the one that I forgot was The Big Bust Out. Because it's like the foreign.
Yeah, the Italian. Movie, yeah, exactly.
The Italian one. It wasn't until I was going through our previous episodes that I remembered, oh yeah, that one. I totally forgot about it.
Yeah. Erica?
I think I conveniently forgot about Wheels of Fire. I think I just, I don't know if I thought we watched it the year prior. I don't know. I was like, oh yeah, that was 2025. I forgot about that. And The Oldest Profession, to be honest, I feel like we watched it longer ago than 2025. I don't know. I was like, oh, that was 2025.
Yeah, huh. Exactly.
That's how that movie makes you feel.
Yeah. I felt that way about Tax Attack 87. I kind of forgot that was something in 2025. But it really was the story of Adele that I was kind of forgetting about. And I think only because...
How could you forget that?
Just because it's such a sadie that I think I kind of pushed that one out of my head a little bit and kind of forgot about it. Because it's, you know, incredible lead performance and everything else. But like, it just was like, ugh, that movie is it's kind of a bummer, yeah. You know? Yeah. So I just kind of,
it's a big old bummer.
So
yeah, it's a big old, yeah. Saddy.
So, you know, kind of just pushed it out of my head. Cause I was like, oh, that's a bummer, you know? The biggest takeaway. Before we get to that, the film that made you inspired to continue the podcast, what was a movie that you were like, oh, okay, we're going to be okay.
Killing Time saved me. It brought me back.
Okay.
Thank you, Kiefer. Thank you, Michael Madsen. They brought me back. Thank you, Beau Bridges' butt. I mean, it brought me back. Yeah. It brought me back. I saw that butt and I was like, I'm back in.
Mark?
Can I say Deathstalker?
Of course.
I
recognize it's a nearly new world, but
not a nearly new world. As you try to put it, but we didn't put it in the episode. A nearly now world.
A nearly now world. Right. I recognize that these are not the movies that we're going to be watching for this podcast, but it was just nice to see. I guess I really liked seeing, hey, someone remade a New World movie, and not one that is like another Death Race 2000 or even maybe
a new Hellraiser sequel or something, yeah.
Or a new Hellraiser.
Right.
Like one that wasn't necessarily their most famous movie. How they haven't remade like Flowers in the Attic, or maybe they have. Like, that's a remakeable movie. But this isn't a movie that you would think that someone would remake.
It's Flowers with a Z. It's cool now.
Flowers in the Attic. But yeah, certainly Deathstalker was.
Somebody remade fun to watch a New World movie, and it was really good. I mean, I don't blame you. For me, it was Under the Boardwalk. I just didn't realize that New World had that kind of movie in it, in its history. Mm. I'm such a sucker for, like, you know, surf or skate movies, and I just was so happy that New World had its own version. And we got to talk to Fritz Kirsch, who directed it, and we will talk with him again this next year. That was for me like, oh, okay, there's some diamonds in the rough here. But the biggest takeaway from the season for you guys.
I know we're not at final questions.
We are, actually. We are.
Oh.
We are. Great. That's what I said.
Well, thanks for asking. I think probably the biggest takeaway from this year? Goodness. Biggest takeaway from 2025. Just when you think you've seen it all with New World Pictures, you haven't.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. You have not.
Mm-hmm.
You have not.
Mark? Oh.
And something will come up that you're like, oh yeah, I'm not done. And something will come up that impresses you, depresses you, excites you, bores the shit out of you. But when you look back, you're like, I cannot believe this is all New World Pictures. So I think it's taken me many years to realize that. But I think it's that I'm always surprised. And 2025, I was definitely surprised.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with Erica's comment. It very surprised when you look at from, like you said, the story of Adela to Tax Attack 87 to Jimmy the Kid. I mean, this may be the most diverse collection of movies we've watched since starting the podcast. I think also, if we do Vidtober again, and I'm going to assume that we will, can we maybe not make them all Canadian movies? I'm not shitting on Canada. I'm just saying it felt like there's straight-to-video movies, and then there's like the straight-to-video movies that even in the straight-to-video movie world, nobody saw.
Sure.
And
sure.
We were playing in that playground for a long time.
You know, to take... You know, listeners, you've stuck with us for all these years. Take you behind the curtain. That theme was made because we were going to have our Ghost Keeper episode come out. Our Ghost Keeper episode, which now is featured on the Blu-ray for Ghostkeeper, released by Canadian International Pictures, but they pushed the release to January, so it is now sold out, everybody. But our track is available. Ugh. It is sold out, but they probably will have...
We sold it out.
And I think they will have maybe more copies, you know, coming soon. But for right now, it's sold out. So definitely pick that up if you once they have more copies of it come in. But that's why we chose that theme. And then we had to basically take out the lead episode of that month. And I had to find a replacement. And it was difficult for us, maybe for the audience, who knows. Definitely a test of all of our patience and of our listenership. And for me, that's what was a big takeaway, is that we had one of the most successful years of this podcast. And we are running the gamut of some really wild stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun stuff to talk about. And it's awesome that people are still curious and listening to every movie that we talk about on this podcast. And that was really cool to see. We are doing Fanuary 2, where you have picked the movies, and I'm going to reveal to Mark and Erica what we are talking about for the next couple weeks.
The
winners of Fanuary: Avenging Angel.
Yes.
Also, The Boys Next Door.
Oof.
Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
And okay. Are you ready to get dark? Because the movie is dark. Yes. Penelope Spheeris.
All right.
Before Wayne's World, she got dark. So those are the picks for Fanuary. Wow. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next couple weeks. So stick around for those.
Thank you, fans.
Thank you so much for listening to the 4th annual Worldies. Which we have to say thank you to this great... Danny. The great Discord and all of our... presenters tonight, we want to thank you. He's so loud.
He can't hear him.
Thank you to everybody who contributed to this episode. All of the people in the Discord, all of our presenters, all of our guests this year, you in the audience, Mark, Erica, thank you all so much for another wonderful Worldies. May they continue to be our most listened to episode. We hope you enjoy this episode. We'll see you next time with the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Commercial TBD.
Bye.